This is the ICANN 55 IDN program update meeting on March 9th, 2016 at 10:45 in the Amethyst Room.
Okay, so thank you very much for joining the session on IDN program update. Let's get started. Next slide, please. Thank you. So here's an overview of our session presentations today. We'll give a short overview of different projects and programs being conducted under the IDN program currently. We'll give go in detail in some of those in the first presentation. However, some of the details will be presented separately as well. We will have integration panel update by Mark Blanchet, IDN implementation guidelines work going on by Edmund Chung, who's a co-chair of that working group, and update on work currently going on reference second level LGR development by Michelle Sunyard. We also have updates from community members on the different LGR generation panels, and we will have updates from Khmer generation panel by Rapid Sun, from Lao generation panel by Chitaphone Chansi Lilat, and on Latin generation panel by Chris Dillon. And then we will have a question answer session after that. Next slide, please. So onwards to overview of the IDN program. Next slide, please. Okay. So IDN program is currently undertaking multiple projects, and these projects we normally divide into two categories. One set which is looking at top level domains, and then another set of projects which is looking at second level for GTLDs. And then we have a separate outreach and community involvement thread which we undertake to get to apprise everybody on the progress as well as engage them in the work. So I will be presenting updates on some of these projects, except those for which we have community members and other members here who will provide more details on specific projects they are working on. So let's move ahead. Next slide, please. So first of all, I think one of the larger projects we are involved in is developing label generation rules for the root zone. Excuse me. This project has been active since 2001, where community has been trying to determine what is the best way to define valid top-level domains in different scripts and determine their variants. It has multiple parts to it. One part which is developing linguistic rules for developing these labels and variants for each of the scripts. In addition, we have a project which looks at implementation details of these variants. And finally, we are also looking at a tool to use this data. We'll be talking more about that as well. We are happy to report that the first version of label generation rules for the root zone have been released on 2nd of March of this year. Two communities finished their work and handed their proposals to ICANN for integration in July of 2015. The integration, we took the proposals for public comment as per the process, and based on the public comment, the communities finalized their proposals for integration in November of 2015. And integration panel undertook the evaluation of these proposals and published the first version of LGR for public comment, again as per the process, in December of 2015. The public comment closed on February 2016, which led to the eventual publication of the first version of LGR. The two communities which finished their proposals included Armenian and Arabic scripts, and Arabic script proposal was integrated, but Armenian script proposal, though successfully evaluated, was not integrated because it had some cross-script variants with Latin, Greek, and Cyrillic generation panels. So integration panel thought it would be wise to wait till those generation panels have finished their work and there is clarity on how they look at the same problem, so that a common solution can be determined. So the Armenian generation panel LGR proposal was not integrated at this time. Next slide, please. Here is a status of different generation panels. So we have many communities which are now active. As you can see, Arabic and Armenian have already finished their work. We are happy to report that Khmer and Lao generation panels have also completed their proposals, and they are currently informally interacting with the integration panel to get any feedback on any gaps which are still left before they go for public comment. They will be going to public comment soon, and we'll be hearing from Lao and Khmer generation panels in more detail today as well in this session. In addition, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean generation panels are all seated, and they continue to work within their communities and also coordinate efforts across them to find common solutions, since they share Han script across the three generation panels. Ethiopic and Cyrillic and Latin and Thai generation panels are also seated and making good progress. And then we are also working with other communities to get their generation panels started. So this just gives a brief overview of where we are in the whole process. Next slide, please. So we have now all this data which is being produced through all these generation panels, and one of the projects we are undertaking is basically to have a very formal machine-readable mechanism to store this data and process this data. And there has been a project which started to develop formal specifications to store this data. The specification is being developed by IETF through the label generation or lager working group there. The working group actually had their last call last week, and that was finalized. We'll have more update on it by Marc Blanchet as well. And so that work is now also coming to a closure. So we'll have a standards track RFC representing this formalism. And based on that formalism, we are also developing a tool which the community can use. We have actually already developed three phases of this tool. This tool is now available through the ICANN website. It's called lgrtool.icann.org. It does require credentials to sign in, and we were more than happy to provide those credentials to you. If you want to access the tool, just email us at the IDN program at ICANN.org, and we'll provide those credentials. This tool allows anybody to use online tool to create an LGR. Also, if an LGR already exists, you can upload that LGR and then use that LGR to determine if a particular domain name is valid based on that LGR and what are the variants of that domain, that label given that LGR. And it also allows you to take two different LGRs to determine what are the differences between those LGRs, or you can create union or intersection of those LGRs. So it allows you to manage LGRs as well. And then we are now finalizing another phase of this project in which you will be able to also upload an existing set of labels to see if you change a version of LGR, how that impacts the existing labels in the system. And finally, we are once this application is completed and tested, we intend to release this as open source for the community to use this application and integrate it into their own systems beyond, obviously, its availability through ICANN. Next slide, please. And here are some... here are some screenshots of this tool. So, for example, here is a screenshot of the first phase, which allows you to enter an LGR code point. The reason for this work was that the XML specification is rather complex, and it may be hard for generation panel communities and other community members to develop the XML itself. So this gives a very easy user interface where you can just do one code point at a time, write rules, define variants in a very easy-to-use manner, and that just automatically creates the corresponding XML at the back for you to use. Next slide, please. Just go back one. Oh, it's okay. Yeah. So... this is the second phase, which once the LGR is loaded, you can see there was a label which was typed in the text box there, and it tells you that the label is valid using the LGR. And if you look down a bit, it says there are 1,600 variants generated using this variant, this label, of which 1,542 are blocked, 50 are invalid, 7 are allocatable, and 1 is valid. And you can then download the corresponding file, which lists all those variants and their dispositions in more detail. So it provides you all the details of variants. Next slide, please. Thank you. And then this is the final slide, which shows the third part of the functionality, where you can see that you can load two different LGRs, and you can do a union, intersection, or difference of those LGRs if you're managing LGRs at your end. Next slide, please. We are also undertaking the fast track process for IDNC CTLDs. Currently, there are 49 strings which have been successfully evaluated, which represent 39 different countries and territories. Next slide, please. These 43 have been delegated, again, which represent 33 countries and territories, and they overall represent 18 different scripts and 27 different languages. The fast track process is currently under annual review, basically there's a CCNSO working group which is working on looking at public comment which was received when this annual review was opened, and based on their feedback the process will eventually close. Next slide, please. As far as the communication efforts are concerned, we have been very active in updating the IDN web pages at ICANN website, and you can access it very easily by just going to ICANN.org/IDN. We have been presenting updates to at all the ICANN meetings to the community, and we also go to individual SOs and ACs to present updates to them. We've also been active reaching out to different communities to engage them in the program. So we held a workshop on IDNs and African languages in Congo last year to engage the community from Africa to get involved in Ethiopic and Latin generation panels. We've also held a training for Korean generation panel in Seoul. We've assisted the process of public workshops for Khmer and Lao root zone LGRs proposals for the respective GPs, and they'll talk more about that later today. We also maintain email lists and wiki pages to share the progress of our work with the community. Next slide, please. We are reasonably easy to reach, so come visit us at ICANN.org/IDN. And if you have any questions or query or need any more information, just simply write to IDNprogram@ICANN.org. So that's all the that's an update from IDN program for now. Let's move on to the next sessions, and the next presentation is by Marc Blanchet on update by the integration panel. So over to Mark.
Thank you, Samrat. Next slide. So this is a short report of integration panel activities since last ICANN. We reviewed the final Arabic script LGR and Armenian script LGR. We produced the first zone, root zone LGR named LGR1. Public comments are done. We had interactions with the current active GPs such as Armenian, CGK, Khmer, and Lao. We reviewed the new GP proposals, Ethiopic, Cyrillic, and Korean. And we formalized an integration procedure for root zone LGR. The last point here being that we prepared the work as the all the GP LGRs will be integrated together, and that would, was requiring some processing, I guess, of the files. Next slide, please. So for the LGR1, we received the Armenian and Arabic LGR, who both passed public comments. We reviewed the Armenian LGR and found it needed to be considered together with other scripts because of the cross-script variants. So it is deferred. Therefore, as soon as the other scripts are in, then we will be able to integrate all of them together. IP also reviewed the Arabic LGR and found it no dependencies on with other scripts, so it has been accepted inside the first LGR of the root zone. And again, we conducted extensive review of the integration process. So what we did was actually took current prototype LGRs of various other scripts and then just try to integrate it all together so that we are ready when the final versions are. So it's more a technical work in, on our side for the integration itself. Next slide. Those are, for your references, various links of the actual files of the LGRs. Next slide. On the ITF side of this, as Sarmad was pointing out, the LAGR working group was formed to finalize the LGR XML format to be a standard track RFC, fully reviewed by ITF. So actually the slide now is a bit obsolete because it's not converging to final specifications. It has converged to final specification. And instead of expecting to be sent to ISG for approval in next month, I actually pushed a button yesterday to request ISG for a formal review of the specification. So we we were prudent when we made the slides, but we were making more progress. So now it's in the ends of the ISG. So it should be in ITF last call in a few weeks. Obviously, the ITF meeting is coming soon, so it may be before or after. So if everything goes well, we may have an approved specification before kind of June. IDNA 2008 repertoire or actually the tables are not updated, and this is not news, it's just considerations that influence the work in the future related to an issue that was found. And the consequence is the current IDNA tables are based on Unicode 6.3, where Unicode is almost 9 now and 10 in a year. So that means that any new code points in these after 6.3 cannot be reviewed or used at the moment. Next slide. So what we foresee in the future, review of Khmer and Lao LGRs, and maybe Thai too, it's coming. Interaction with CGK generation panels concerning their LGR address. They have a difficult problem because they need to, coordinate together with because the various variants. So it's a lot of work, and they've been doing a lot of work, and we actually interact with them a lot to help. And obviously, review of new generation panel proposals as they come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And then we'll move on to an update on the work which is now going on revision of IDN implementation guidelines. I will hand it to Edmund Chung, who's a co-chair of that working group.
Thank you, Samad. Edmund here. I guess we'll move to the next slide. And so basically we'll cover, I'm going to give a little bit of background of what the IDN implementation guidelines are there for and what the current iteration is working on. I'll talk about the working group the composition of the working group, and then some of the current topics that the group is considering. Next slide, please. So this is a very special piece of document, I guess, in the ICANN set of documents in terms of policies and implementation. It is called the ICANN Implementation Guidelines, but as we finalize it, it will have immediate implication in all the new GTLDs, at least, that offer IDNs, because this is a document that is included in the contracts with the new GTLDs. This is a piece of document that is designed to address a number of IDN implementation issues to make sure that registries are both compliant with the guidelines, but also to take into consideration user confusions and other types of concerns. One of the items I see here that for ccTLDs, I actually have a different understanding of it. It says recommended for IDN ccTLDs. In fact, I think it's required by IDN ccTLDs. I was in the working group that created the IDN ccTLD fast track, and it is pretty clear that IDN ccTLDs must comply with the IDN implementation guidelines. So this is one of the documents, the only document that covers both GTLDs and ccTLDs that I know of at ICANN. So this is a background of the IDN implementation guidelines. And so in previous work at the GNSO, especially as we work through the new GTLD program, and as the IDN implementations evolve, there's some need to revise the guidelines. In fact, these guidelines were set out, I think, first in 2006 or 2007, and it's been through three or four iterations already as we see the implementation of IDNs in, I guess, in the real world, and currently we're going through a process to update really the guidelines. So next slide, please. There was a call that went out for community to participate in the IDN guidelines working group, and there is participation from GNSO, CCNSO, ALAC, and SSAC. I'm trying to count to make sure, but if I remember correctly, there should be six GNSO members, two from CCNSO, two from ALAC, and one active member from the SSAC, but who's also on the IDN, the board IDN working group, as I understand. Ram Mohan sitting next to me, and then Patrick from SSAC is also, I believe, on the mailing list and have committed to review the work coming out of the working group. Currently, myself from the GNSO, Mats from CCNSO, and Whale from ALAC are the co-chairs for the working group. Next slide, please. So the next couple of slides really are the six topics that we have identified that should be incorporated into the next version of the IDN implementation guidelines. I don't think I will go very much into detail about it, but in the overall process, we're hoping that we will put out these six items. This is the opportunity to let people know this is what we're doing and try to get a little bit of feedback. But the formal feedback, we're looking at an initial report, hopefully before the next around the next ICANN meeting. That's still the current target. And then based on the feedback, based on the formal process for the feedback from the public comments, we will work on a final report, which would, in effect, eventually update the IDN implementation guidelines. So just the six items. One is... If those of you who were in the UASG Universal Acceptance session earlier, Andrew pointed out a point about the IDN standards. The protocol standards have changed from between 2003 and 2008, 2009 timeframe. And there are still some, lingering transition issues that continues to be important. So we think that's an important aspect. We are, over the many years that IDN has been in discussion, many terminologies were proposed and created and morphed over time. One of the hope is to at least gather some of the key terminologies and try to bring some I shouldn't say standard, but at least some sense for people to follow the discussion. The format of the IDN tables, that's other places are discussing as well, but we're going to incorporate some of those into the new IDN guidelines. Consistency of IDN tables across different registries, this is going to be one of the issues that we will look into. Next slide, please. IDN variants, of course, from the very beginning, in the first iteration of the IDN implementation guidelines, IDN variants was touched on. But especially over the last 5 years, a lot of work has been done from the community and from ICANN on IDN variants. So there's a lot of update that may come into the implementation guidelines. And then we'll also need to touch on the confusability and similarity issue. Again, this is from the very first IDN guidelines. This has been there, but it has been refined over the years, especially in light of the new GTLDs as well. So that's another item. And finally, registration data. What is commonly called the whois or contact data for registration, that seems to be an area that should be included as well. So those are the six broad strokes that we're looking at. Again, this is not a formal initial report yet, but any input at this point or at the formal process is much welcome. Next slide, please. So that's where we are. We do have a face-to-face meeting here And those are the links that about the program, and you can follow our work from the community wiki as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Edmund. And we go on to a short update on the reference second level LGRs. It will be provided by Michelle.
Okay, next slide, please. So this will be the outline of the presentation. So we go through the background of what it is and then go different subjects of the second level LGRs, which is guidelines, answers to public comments on the status of the LGR. Next slide. So the background to explain what it is, in fact, it's the work is to develop a set of LGRs covering selected languages. This is unlike the root, we're talking languages here. So it's probably a bit more aligned. What was done in the second level, where you have seen these IDN tables that were addressing languages. So in fact, at the same time, we're also developing a guideline to explain how those LGRs are being developed, the process, how to collect information. The scope is, in fact, 29 languages. Let's look different than what I had. So there's 29, and so Latin has 16, then Cyrillic has 8, and then there's 2 with mixed scripts. By that, I mean that Japanese and Korean, in fact, do include Latin. That's also a big distinction between the root on the second level, that obviously in the second level you may allow ASCII, the LDH, including the hyphen, which are not allowed in the root level. And for Japanese, we do allow, again, unlike the root, we allow kana on Latin characters as well for Korean. And then for Arabic, we also have Arabic, which is single script, obviously. On Chinese, also allow Latin, by the way. On Hebrew, is a single script. So that's the scope. And again, this is when we're talking about the list here, where Arabic is as a language, not as a script, which is different, again, from the LGR1 work. Next slide. So the guideline was really how we get to those set of LGRs. So the key aspect, how you define, code points that you need for languages on, is not that simple, in fact. In some of them, you have really to go at different references. Some have well-established references, like you could think maybe of the French, for example, would have the Academy, French Academy, that you would give you some idea what is supposed to be used to write French. For other ones, you have to look at either what was the previous practice by IDN tables. You may also have to look at a different publication. For example, we found that for the Nordic countries, there were some publications that were done to determine what was coverage for various European languages. And also for Germany, you can find some good references. For others, you really have to look around. We look, for example, at CLDR, which is a work that is done by the Unicode Consortium that collect information related to languages or writing systems, and is in fact pretty comprehensive, has been used by a lot of various platforms, very successful platforms on the IT industry. So we see that guidelines define how you find those sources, but also define how the process is done. So there's a multiple step process where you do first create a set, and then you have to go through reviews, both linguistic review by linguistic experts. You also look from a security and stability point of view, which are obviously very important at the end. And the last stage is basically a public review of the repertoire. So these guidelines basically describe the whole process and has been presented by ICANN and have received feedback on those. I think you publish a new version now, Greg, of the guidelines. So it has been now the guidelines is on the open on the, available on the IDN website, on the ICANN website. Next slide. So when the guidelines were put on the for public comments, we got some comments that were not mostly about the process, but more about the project itself. Basically some concerns how they were going to be used. And that was a bit outside of my, scope, frankly, as myself developing the guidelines themselves, because we're not really, we were describing how to create LGR, not how they're going to be used. And so I think that we, some explanation or clarification were provided in the answer to the public comments to basically explain again that, how those LGRs are going to be used. On my understanding, obviously again that's a bit out of scope for me, but the scope is really to be used in pre-delegation testing. That was my understanding. And they're only reference points. They basically establish a reference for anyone that is trying to do IDN language-based tables, and so they know they have at least a base point, so they can either extend on it if they think it's not enough, and they can always evolve. Is that not necessarily, totally 100% stable? I mean, they can be augmented, or if people think that they need to be, some additional code points or additional rules if you need have to be added to those LGRs. Next slide, please. Next. Okay. Challenges, that's more like on the technical work of doing those LGRs. Obviously, like I said before, language coverage is a moving target. It's not that easy to determine what is used on a given writing system. There's multiplicity of sources, and sometimes you have so many of them that you don't know which one is the right one. And they do diverge sometimes, so you have to make a judgment call of what is the right answer. And then there's dictionary, they move depending what's the level acceptance of foreign words. Is especially true in Latin and Cyrillic system where, let's say you live in Ukraine, on how much of Russian you want to accept in your Ukrainian writing system, Same in Yugoslavia, former Yugoslavia, you have a lot of influence between the different sections of what used to be, between Serbia, Montenegro, and Macedonia, and all those places. They have slightly variation, but sometimes also they have influence from the neighboring entity. And so we have to take that into account and see, for example, in each of the systems, especially between the other Cyrillic and Russian, do you want to include Russian code points into, a non-Russian language, this kind of decision you have to make. And to some degree, you have to make a judgment call. And to a large degree, we've been pretty conservative. That's been kind of the principle of the work was to be conservative. So, we could obviously add later, but at least as a first step, we consider it to be, more like on the cautious side than really on the liberal side. Then there's scope on language. For some, it's pretty easy. If you want to define Greek, Greek, in fact, it's not part of this one, but let's say if you want to define even Finnish, you have a pretty good idea what that is. But if you try to determine Arabic as a language, you can go, you have to go, we took as an assumption that we would go for example, for a pretty expensive view of Arabic on that aspect. We went from basically, Morocco to Iraq, from the west to the east, and then from the north, obviously, we went from, you would say Syria on the south to Sudan. I guess that's probably where you would consider Arabic to be used. So we went pretty far. And so at the same time, it's a bit complicated to determine. For example, in Iraq, you do use some Persian letters because and also there's some brands, in fact, that do need character beyond pure Arabic to be represented in Arabic countries because they do use different consonants. So you have to kind of at least consider those. So you have some judgment call to do all those things, especially for some that are very widely used. Even English, some aspect is also problematic. Because English has a lot of borrowing from, for example, French. And so do you consider, you know, the typical word is naive. Is naive, you know, as umlaut in English or not? So anyway. So opportunities, obviously, we are also using the fact that we have done work in LGR. So that's, you know, Arabic, for example, there's an Arabic LGR1. That's useful for us. I mean, when you do a second level, in fact, there was a lot of work that we could use, especially on the variant side, all the variant work that was done by the Arabic the generation panel for Arabic was very useful for doing work on the second level. And also we see work done on second level at DNAs. I mean, a lot of tables exist already out there, and that's very useful as input. Plus, the work that was done by the .ac, I mean, the IIS group, which was the first one, in fact, to do this kind of second level generation, I mean, LGRs. Next. So, status. I say that they're all ready for public review, but in fact, the work is done, but it's now inside ICANN, and ICANN is kind of doing internal processing to validate them. So maybe later Sermat will have more to say on those. But on the XML files, so obviously we're talking LGR, so it's a set of XML files, but they have a fairly deep documentation built into the XML, so they do describe themselves, what they are about on, you know, variants, on the repertoire, on why characters were added or not added. And we have a documentation, in fact, that do extract automatically for them XML. So we ensure that we are always synchronized between the documentation on the XML itself. Documentation elements are the source references, repertoire, rationales, and variants. On OBC, some of them have rules, especially like in Hebrew and Arabic, they need a set of rules where in Latin, on, you know, Cyrillic, you don't really need rules except forbidding leading combining marks. Next, please. That's, you can see already the guidelines, it's online, and we see we're using the XML, the Lager specification as well, so it's probably one of the, you know, larger implementation of LGR at this point, because we have 29 LGRs that were done on this project, so we have been using, you know, the LGR spec, the XML spec to its full extent. And we see I'll be open for question later. Thank you.
Next slide, please. Thank you. So we'll now move on to community updates.
Just a question for you. On the last slide, you were talking about language convergence, et cetera. If you look at the African region, there are a whole lot of languages that are now standardizing and using the Arabic script. And in Unicode, it's kind of treated as an extension, if you will, to the Arabic code page. What happens if those languages want to be represented in LGRs or in the DNS? Because Arabic is itself covered now. But you have, I think it's called Ajami, and there are other representations on many other languages here in Africa that have now chosen to use Arabic script, but they're not using just the standard Arabic script, you know. So what would be the path for those representatives from those languages?
Okay, let me answer. You could either do as separate languages, because after all, they're all separate writing systems, so you could follow the same principle that is done on the second level project. Now, you will have one for each of the, you know, writing system, like in, and yes, there's many, I understand that would be maybe restrictive. The other ways, you could, in fact, do some sort of pan, you know, African Ajami, if you want. You could do such a project if you want to. It's perfectly... But at the same time, you could say, you know, you could use, in fact, the Arabic LGR one itself, and make it kind of a pan-Arabic, you know, right, you know, writing. I mean, the set of languages, there's nothing that prevent languages to be merged in a single project. You see what I mean? Like, you know, you could, for example, do a Latin set that would cover all Europe. The same way you could do a set of, you could merge languages together and make a single table for, you know, a set of languages together. There's no requirement to separate languages, you know, in per table. You could have a table that covers multiple. And so, you know, if someone wants to propose an Ajami Arabic, you know, for North and Western Africa, you know, that's, it's beyond me to some degree. You know, someone can do that, and then, you know, either I can or whoever can basically support or sponsor such a work.
Yeah. So at top level, obviously, there is work which is already done. For second level, we have a members of a Task Force on Arabic IDN Working Group, which is a community-based effort. They are actually one of the second things after the LGR1. They have actually undertaken work on developing Arabic script table for second level. So this is work which is now being taken up by the Task Force on Arabic IDNs, and they continue to do their work as a community group to represent Arabic script on through IDNs. So that is that may actually be another effort which is relevant in this context. If you are looking at from a script context, if you are looking from a language-based context, then obviously one would need to develop each of these tables separately for languages. In the interest of time, I hope we can continue and then we can get questions.
Apologies, I do have to go. But I think, though, there was another question that Ram was asking, which is about new characters that are introduced into Unicode. And this was, I think, something that Mark was talking about a little bit earlier, that there is this problem that we're not sure what to do about the rules. I don't think we're going to solve that here, but there is an urgent problem there, and I think contributions to that issue would be welcome.
Okay. So we'll come back to this discussion at the end of the presentations. So let us move to update from the Khmer Generation panel by Rapid Sun.
Good morning. My name is Rapid Sun. I'm working as a member, as a secretary of Khmer Generation panel. Please, next slide. Next slide. So I will update you about our progress on the Khmer proposal of the LGR. Next slide. The Khmer language has been seen evolve in since 7th century, and we also some word borrow from Sanskrit and Pali. And we are using for our citizen about 15 million people, and some part also using in southern Thailand and also in Vietnam. Please, next slide. Next slide, please. And there are about 146 characters in our alphabet, our character, and also, we write from the left to right, and some language like Thai and Lao also derive from Khmer language also. Next slide. So our Khmer generation panel, there are about 10 people, and the members come from technical side, and also come from linguistic side, and also come from academia. Next slide, please. And this is our proposal that we submit to the integration panel, and we plan to develop the print, the code point, and the variant, the label, and the rule, and we finally finished the consultation, the public consultation workshop on 15 February, yes, last month. Next slide, please. In our code point developed, we are because our members there are some come from the technical side like networking skill or from the CCTLD, so they are mainly not skilled in Khmer linguistic. So then we doing with a small group, a smaller group, with the only linguistic people, two or three linguistic. And then we define the code point like the consonant, dependent vowel, independent vowel, and some sign. And we also develop the variant because there are one variant between for Khmer script when we using the subscript. And also we define the cross script variant between the Khmer and Thai, between Khmer and Lao, and Myanmar. Next slide. So totally, because this is an old slide, we have developed about 12 label rule. The latest is 12 label rule, and with the also the XML. And for the cross script variant, we had the meeting yesterday with the Lao and Thai, and with also the integration panel that the criteria is similar, but when we form a label, it is not a similar, so we don't consider it as a variant. Yeah, next slide, please. So until we develop the proposal, there are about 10 editions of the proposal, and then we share the proposal with when we develop with the Khmer linguist, we share the proposal with the other member in the community and for their feedback, and also we share the proposal with the integration panel. We have maybe 4 or 5 feedback already, and host the public consultation, which we invite people from university, from private sector, from NGO or civil society who is interested working on the ICT in Cambodia. Yeah, next slide. This is our update of the Khmer generation panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Rapid. And we'll move on to update from Lao generation panel, and we have Chittaphone here to do that. Over to you, Chittaphone.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Chittaphone Chansi Lilat. I'm from Ministry of Post and Telecommunication of Lao PDR. I'm a member of Lao GP. So today I'm going to present about our work and also our GP, the component of GP, and also some work that we have been done. And next slide, please. Okay, I will start with the generation panel, Lao generation panel. The Lao generation panel have been approved and seated by ICANN since 15 September 2015. There's 13 members in the GP, which is consists of 3 linguistic expert and 4 from IDN operation, 1 policymaker and 1 from media, and the last 4 from the Lao localization project, which is develop Lao language in computer system. And the GP has shared by Mr. Phonpasit Pitsamai, which is the director of e-government center. He have expert with Lao language development since 2003, and also he's the one who integrate Lao into e-government system. Next slide, please. Next, I will move on to the some introduction about Lao. The Lao language is the official language of Lao, and it is originated from Thai Kadai language, which is maybe the same root with Thai and Khmer. And this language is spoken by approximately 30 million people, which is mainly in Laos and northern part of Thailand and some area in the neighboring country like Cambodia, China, Myanmar, Vietnam. And Lao language is a tonal language, which is, according to the book, we have 6 tones, the high normal, low normal, mid-high falling, mid-falling, and low rising. So the dialect is differentiated into 5 main groups, Wien Chan, Luang Prabang, Siang Khuang, and Champasak province. The script is derived from Bali and Sanskrit, and it has been continuously developed time to time until it's become a unique of Lao language. And there, the no space between word and write from left to right. Next slide, please. And next, I will conclude a bit about some work that the GP have been done. So far we have done the determine the principle to be used to determine the valid code point, and we have analyzed some the variance between inscript and cross script variant between Lao, Thai, and Khmer. And also we have identified the rune, the WLE runes for the root zone. And also we have write the proposal, which is now under the review by the IP. And we plan to submit the proposal very soon. Next. This is the code point that we have identified. So as you may know that we cannot put all from the Unicode table into the root zone. So according to the regulation from ICANN and also IDNA 2008, so we have in total is a 51 character to be included in the root zone. So we just have 27 consonant, 18 vowel, 4 tone mark, 1 side. Next slide, please. And this is for what we have researched for inscript and cross script variants. For in some code point in Lao, we can write in different sequence, but it look totally the same as you can see from my slide. So in this sequencing is not consistently supported by all the font and system. Therefore, the generation panel is decided that only the valid sequence should be considered, and the list is we just make a spelling error. So this is the conclusion of the from public comment and also from the GP. So in conclusion, we have no inscript variant in Lao language. Next slide. Next slide, please. Okay, for cross script variants, we have do a research about between Lao, Thai, and Khmer. And this is my own slide. So normally we have for Lao and Thai, we have a 12 pair, which is more similar, and only one consonant which is similar. But we just do the public seminar in last month on 18. After the comment and after consideration, we said that the Lao and Thai can recognize which one is Lao, which one is Thai. Therefore, after the consultation yesterday with the Thai generation panel, so we conclude that we will not consider as a cross script variant between Lao and Thai. Next slide. For Khmer, okay. So can you move on to the previous one? For Khmer, we have only two characters which is more similar, but those two pairs are not the consonant, but it is vowel. So the vowel cannot be formed the label. So that's also in conclusion, we have no cross script variant between Lao and Khmer. Next slide. Oh, sorry. Okay, so this one I want to explain a bit about how can we determine the rune, the WLE rune. So this is the structure of the Lao word. So we have in total 10 characters in one syllable. As you can see, the X0 until X10. So X0 is represent the vowel before, which is can be occur only in front of the consonant, and so on. And finally, we got in total we have it 10 runes for which is categorized into 4 groups. For consonant, we have for vowel, for tone mark, and also for the side. Next slide. And that's all for my talk today. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll move on to our last presentation for this session. So over to Chris Dillon for update from Latin Generation Panel.
Thank you very much. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is just a brief overview of the scope of the Latin panel, the members we currently have, some resource issues, then something about the Latin part of the maximal starting repertoire, and then basically what next. Next slide, please. So we have drawn up lists of the languages using the Latin script, very long lists, and we've split those into large areas in the world. So this is just an example of that sort of thing, largely the work of my colleague Mirjana Tasic, in fact. Next slide, please. Currently, we have altogether about 20, over 20 members, but I think probably only a small number of them, much less than that, are active in the work. Next slide, please. So this is a brief indication of the current status. So we haven't formed a panel officially yet, and if you look at this, it's a traffic light system. So X means, you know, this is the thing that's stopping us. In fact, I wasn't aware that so much work has been done in the area of training XML, and you know, there's also a tool which may go some way to turning that particular stop sign into an amber light. But probably what should be a stop light here is the the linguists, because the situation there is that we are strong in Europe, so we cover the Romance, Germanic, Slavonic, and some other languages in Europe very well. But once you set foot outside that area, there are certain brighter points. I mean, we have some African expertise, we have Vietnamese and Swahili expertise, but the summary is that we are really looking for either experts on individual languages or actually experts on what I would describe as language areas. So just Central Asia, for example, but, you know, really large, or the Americas. These are all areas where we have little expertise at the moment. Next slide, please. Perhaps we are getting a little ahead of ourselves, but we have spent some time with more major resources and actually looking at Unicode CLDR and Script Source and Ethnologue, and we took the code ranges which are okayed for Latin use within the MSR, and this is a sort of a typical picture where you can see the Latin ones. We basically think, yeah, there are large languages using them, so we can use something called the EGIDS scale, which is defined by the Ethnologue website, and it gives you a good idea of whether that language is in is in current use, and I think it goes from 1 to 9, and the rule of thumb is that if it's between EGIDS 1 and 4, then it, you know, that language will probably be covered by this work. If it's 5, down to 9, then that's less likely. But we have already discovered one language where we'd like to break that rule, and the language is Esperanto, because it's spoken by a lot of people, about 2 million people, but it's EGIDS 5. And it has some code points which it needs to write itself in the normal way of writing. So, that's a sort of a summary, really, of where that one is. Next slide, please. So, what now? As you can see, we need to find more members, and so that means via conferences and reaching out to people. Once there are enough of us, then we can form the panel, and then we're really continuing our analyses of the code points, and also in related scripts such as Cyrillic is the biggest one, but also Greek and Armenian, possibly other scripts. Then beyond that, we're talking about creating the repertoire and the WLEs. Writing the report and submitting for review. Next slide, please. And the last point I would like to make is that we've made very good use of the community wiki. So if you're interested in our work, you would like to join us, then you can go in and you can find, apart from the normal MP3s, you will find the longer versions of what I was just talking about. So lists of languages, lists of code points, the draft panel formation proposal, and notes on all the meetings. You can find all of that in there. So for anybody listening to this who would be interested in joining us, it's actually quite easy. You don't really need to listen through hours and hours and hours of MP3s. There is a shortcut. Thank you very much.
So thank you very much for the presentation. So we have now some time for questions. So let's open the floor for any comments and questions from here in the room. Yeah. So.
Hello, this is Caitlin Tubergen speaking on behalf of remote participant Matt Steffberg. And the comment is, the work raised a question on the concept of language table. You stated that you had a conservative approach to the language tables, which is probably true for some tables, but definitely not all. I have been able to review the tables, especially the Swedish table. It contains code points far beyond what is used for writing Swedish. If such a table is accepted, then you could as well go to script tables instead. The concept of language table is meaningless.
Try to answer that. I mean, there is obviously a controversy on that. I'm just doing what ICANN wants me to do. So to some degree, if ICANN want to have a Swedish language table, on there, those some people are asking for them. And so I understand. I mean, the concept of language table is controversial, but I don't really have an answer to that. It's some people we think it's pretty stable. Some things they are not. On it depends how you take foreign words. To some degree, you use the authorities, and then you follow that authority to determine what to do. Again, I mean, I don't have a good answer to that. So,
Edmund.
Edmund Chung here. So on that note, actually, it's very interesting. The language script issue keeps coming back. And if you even look at Chinese, we use a lot of Latin characters. Is that part of the Chinese language, Chinese script? Neither seems to make sense. But for this particular matter, I think, we're looking at registrations of domain names, and that's really what's relevant. But back to my comment, actually, I have one comment and two questions, actually, both on the reference tables as well. First comment is, I understand the background or the context of the creation of those LGRs, but I think not necessarily from the expert side, but from the ICANN side, the economic incentives or economic implications to registries are important. The, you know, acquiescence, if you will, that reference tables may create are something that I think ICANN needs to be aware of. Not necessarily, you know, change everything that you do, but that's an important background and how those tables are created. So that's a comment. So two questions. One is, as I see that the 29 tables or at least 29 languages or scripts have been created, and I wonder if there has been consideration of those tables in the GTLD context versus CCTLD context, because if you compare the two, they can be largely different, because in a sense, especially going back to Matt's point about language script and, you know, what's relevant, the user's perspective or really the potential lack of any kind of indicator in the GTLD space may not be the same as CCTLD case. And I, you know, using this example, for example, Arabic or Han characters. Arabic is used, as Michelle, you mentioned, that is used across different languages or areas. But if you are registered under .ir or the Iranian IDN CCTLD, that is very different than if you're registered under an Arabic script GTLD. Because if you just see the Arabic GTLD, you don't know whether, you may not know whether that's Persian or, you know, whatever language that can be expressed by the Arabic script. In that context, similarly with Han characters, if you're, you know, hancharacters.jp, you have an indication, you know, that's probably Japanese. But if it's dot, you know, Japanese.asia or hancharacters.asia, you lose that capability of whether that's Japanese, Korean, or Chinese. So whether that was taken into consideration and how that was consideration, it would be interesting. Second question is, it actually building on that, there are situations of mixed scripts, and I think you identified both Japanese and Korean, and in fact, in the cases of Chinese as well, you call the Latin mixed script. How are they handled? I see Korean there, which I find interesting. When you talk about mixed script, does that mix the Han script as well? And especially on those few where there are mixed or including Chinese, are the 29 tables, we're talking about 29 physical tables, or are there situations where languages have multiple tables that eventually had to be combined by the implementer? I'm sorry for the long comment and question, but they are, I think, important questions. So hopefully you got it.
Thank you, Edmund. Michelle, you want to respond to that?
Where we have both Latin and Cyrillic, if I can answer that. So that's for mixed scripts, we added Latin mostly in Asian scripts. So that means Japanese, Chinese, and Korean. We didn't put Hanja in the Korean table yet because there is no precedent of having Hanja in second level domain so far. We will see when we see a good reference for it. We know I would be happy to add it, possibly. To some degree, for the language, we'll come back a bit. I was thinking about, you know, the feedback I got before. We use CLDR. CLDR was kind of, you know, very fundamental reference for us because it's used, in fact, in quite a bit of platform to define what is the coverage for a given writing system. I understand that languages and script are different animals, and you may have, to some degree, when people want to create a new name in a new domain name, they may want to be just script based, or they may want also to be language based. And I think apparently, at least ICANN is seeing a need to have language based definition for reference tables. Doesn't mean that you can't have at the same time script based tables. I think one does not preclude the other one to exist. And so, if you want to create a script based table, you can do that. But you can do both of them, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because people may want some time just to make sure that the, you know, this domain name makes sense for a given language. So they basically intersect. I don't see them as being exclusive of each other.
There's one more person in the queue. If you have a quick comment back, let's take that.
Follow up, because there's a critical, the one part that you didn't cover is the context of GTLDs versus CCLDs. And because of the script situation for Han, for example, a Han exclusive string .jp, you would know that it's Japanese, but a Han string .gtld, you don't know whether it's Chinese or Japanese, so that might fail in terms of, you know, the LGRs. Was that taken into consideration in creating it?
I mean, so far we did a Japanese LGR and we did a Chinese LGR. And the Chinese is based on the .asia, ZH, in fact, that's what we use. But we created in the way that we created, basically you would do a script-based, you know, LGR that you can use it for either going traditional or simplified. But there's no bias on the table. It can be used either way. So you can get all the traditional or simplified variants on UBC's original label also we preserve, even if it is a mixed script, for example. So a mix, traditional and simplified. So we basically develop a Chinese LGR that can be used, obviously, for both traditional and simplified, but it's meant to be used for Chinese, not for Japanese. So it's a different... It has to do with the set size. You know, the Chinese LGR is 19,000 on some change, where the Japanese LGR is... typical J0 subset, which is about 6,300 on some change. So they're different in size. I mean, you could do a unified one, but then you will have the variant set that will get in your way, because if you create a Japanese LGR, you don't want to have to deal with variants unless you have to, frankly. Where we see in China, you would need to deal with the variant set. So that's how we did it.
Thank you. Over to Tariq. Let's take a last question. We're... or a short comment, if you'd like, please.
Okay, thank you. Tariq Mirghani from Arabic GP, Task Force AIDN, and from Sudan Internet Society, .sd Registry for Sudan. I just have a comment and a couple of questions. I don't know, I will be in a hurry, no problem. First, I want to talk about mixing characters from different languages in the same script. As Michel said, an example from Iraq, if you want, maybe some company having brand name, have some characters from... Is it acceptable and how it will be dealt out in different in the root zone and the second LGR? At which level is it acceptable or not? The second thing I want to talk also about Ajami. It's very difficult for African language. I am from Sudan, and we have many African languages there. And I visited African universities, it's a big university in Khartoum, where you can find people from all around Africa using different languages, full day, Hausa, Sawahili, in both script, Latin and Arabic. And for example, they even have a printed books using some characters which are not there even in the Unicode. And they are using just an old fashion of printers to print these books. So there is no clear standard. It was very difficult for us at the script level in the task force idea. Maybe both in the Latin, maybe they will face the same problem. But making more standards, and we are trying to help in that. This is my comment in Ajami. Also, another last question for the IDN guidelines working group about the reports. When, how kind of reports will we expect? Will it be RFC, the reports for the GPs, and for whom it is targeted to use that report? Thank you very much.
Edmund, you.
Yeah, quickly on the IDN implementation guidelines, the final product is focused on registries and registrars for GTLDs, and then also for IDN CCTLD registries. So that's, I think, the the target. However, when we produce the initial interim report and the final report, we're trying to get the community, the entire community, to weigh in. As I mentioned, there are implications on contracts, on how IDNs are actually being used.
So if there are any more discussion, we can take it during the break. Thank you very much. We've already on over time. So thank you for coming and attending the session. Now we'll close the session. Thank you.